Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The one thing an addict needs more than anything else is a way to break his or her addiction. Otherwise, they're trapped in bondage to habits they cannot stop. Today, why Jesus is the one who can set us free. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the power of a clear conscience. Erwin Lutzer is talking about addictions and how Jesus has the power to make us free indeed. Turn with us to John chapter 8.
Well, all that by way of introduction, I'm going to ask you now to take your cell phones, if you would please, and turn with me to the eighth chapter of the book of John. The eighth chapter of the book of John. I decided this week, if you can't lick them, you might as well join them. And those of you who actually have your Bibles that you brought from home, the two or three of you that did that, you can turn to John chapter 8, or there is also a Bible in the pew, in the seat in front of you. John chapter 8, I'm beginning at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's just look at the passage for a moment. I think that the people who believed on Jesus in verse 31 are probably true believers. And Jesus is saying to them, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You'll know the truth will set you free. Now, I think that there was a larger crowd out there who was overhearing what Jesus would say to his disciples, and so it may be that they are the ones who say, "We are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How do you say we shall become free? What do we need to become free of? We're Abraham's offspring." Jesus uses an illustration they'd be acquainted with. "Truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." What a powerful statement. "But the slave does not remain in the house forever. A slave can be bought, can be sold, can be traded. But a son abides permanently. And so if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." I don't want to overuse the word, but I do have to say, wow. What I'd like to do in the next few moments is to give you three truths at least. And remember, this is a flyover. This message, as I was preparing it, it dawned on me that I could preach a whole series if we were to unpack all the things that we could think about. But what I'd like to do is to give you three truths that you need for freedom. And then what we're going to do is to give you some steps and point the way. And you have to, with an open heart, go the rest of the way with Jesus. All right? First thing I think that we need to know is we need to know ourselves. We have to know our own heart. You see, the people to whom Jesus was speaking, they didn't know their hearts. They said, "Well, you know, we've never been slaves to anyone." Please notice this. Their self-righteousness closed them off to the possibility of experiencing God's grace. "We've never been slaves to anyone. We're the righteous ones. We go to the temple, we pray, we keep the law. What do we need to be set free from?" You and I, because of the deception of our hearts, we make two profound mistakes when we evaluate ourselves. Number one, we underestimate our blindness. We underestimate our blindness. The Pharisees certainly did that all the time. They didn't see what Jesus was getting at, the deeper issues of the heart. They were closed off from that. And then the other thing that we do is overestimate our ability. We overestimate our ability. Every time I speak on addictions, I usually like to, if possible, and I've done that throughout the years a couple of times, I've read a book about addictions. And this week I was spending some time in a book entitled The Last Addiction. And it's by a woman by the name of Sharon Hirsch. And some of the ideas I throw out undoubtedly come from my reading. But the point that she is making is that the very last addiction is the belief that we can get out of our predicament alone simply by helping ourselves, by memorizing verses, by saying we won't do it again, by a resolution that says this will never happen again. But it will. It will. The idea that we ourselves, the self that got us into trouble, is the self that can get us out of trouble, is mythology. Recently, I took a stress test. I don't know if you've ever had them, but they put you on a treadmill. And the doctor said to me, at first, you're going to be able to keep up with a treadmill, but eventually, you will lose, and the treadmill will win. All right. So for the first 3 minutes, hey, this isn't bad at all. Just a fast walk. And then after 3 minutes, they increase the incline and then the speed. And you say, oh, this is getting a little more, take more energy than I thought. And then they do that again. And pretty soon you surrender. And you say, treadmill, you win. You win. Do you know what an addiction means? Do you know what the root word is? It's to surrender to the gods. At the end of the day, we surrender to the gods, and it is a myth that we can pull ourselves up and deliver ourselves if only we follow the prescribed path. Sin is deeper, the devil is stronger, and that's an illusion. Second, what we need to do is to know some truth about Satan. Truth about Satan. Now, it's very interesting that, and we don't have time to unpack this whole passage, but if you can skip for a moment to verse 44, Jesus interchanges here with the Jews. And you know, Jesus was very gentle, but when he was dealing with self-righteous people, is it really, you say, did Jesus say that? Verse 44, you are of your father the devil. Try that on when you're witnessing to somebody. Say, you know, I just want you to know that you're of your father, the devil. And then see how that builds confidence as the witnessing continues. All right? But these people are bragging that Abraham is their father. And Jesus says, you're of your father, the devil. And your will is to do the father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. The devil is never interested in life, always death. And has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I've often said from this pulpit, but the only time you could really believe the devil is if he told you that he were lying. And then you know that he's speaking the truth. He can only lie. And what the devil does is he puts ideas into our minds that we think are our own, so we're not afraid of them. He did that with Ananias and Sapphira. He came and said, why don't you use a little bit of deception so that you look better in the church than you really are? You can tell a lie. It was actually a half lie. And Peter says, why is it that Satan has put in your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? They didn't know that came from the devil, or they'd have been afraid of that thought. They thought it was their own. Now, the devil has two different sets of lies. To the Jews here, his lie would be, hey, you're righteous. You keep the law, you go to temple, you're not a drunkard, you're not with prostitutes, you pay your tithe. And you're very meticulous in keeping the law. You're okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay as long as we belong to this club. It's a lie. For God to overcome their blindness, if I can put it this way, is a greater miracle than the blindness of the prostitute down the way. That's why Jesus said that they go into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you all. I think he sometimes spoke Texan and said, they go in ahead of you all. So there's that lie. And then for those who are bound in the fleshly addictions, he has a ton of lies. Lies like, you'll never change. And furthermore, you're worthless. You're unloved. You don't have any real value as a person. Look at your past. Look at what people think of you. Are you accepted? Are you the center of things? No. You have every right to hate yourself, considering who you are. You have every right to slash your wrists in anger. You have every right to be anorexic and not eat so that you can control something in your life because you're angry and everything else is out of control. Let me ask you a question. Where do those kinds of thoughts come from? Do they come from God? I don't think so. They come from Satan. And there are going to be times when you're going to struggle and you're going to have to say, "Begone, Satan, for it is written." And you're going to have to stand on the word of God because the lies are going to want to control you.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Could I ask you a personal question? What lies have you bound? What lies keep you down? Is it a lie about your own self-worth, that you are really worthless and of no value? When Jesus came to redeem you and to save you and to give you dignity, may it be a lie that you are in an addiction permanently and it's not possible for you to get out of that pit? That's a lie, by the way. God has given us resources through his word. He's given us resources through the church, through other believers who stand in with us so that together we can not only make a difference, but together we can experience deliverance. But it demands honesty, truthfulness, and it demands an understanding of the promises of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. The message that you have just heard is part of a larger series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. When I preached it here at Moody Church, it was interesting to see the response of the people. Many people came to me later and mentioned issues that they needed to deal with. They went home. In some instances, they got on their knees and they said, "God, I've put up with this in my life long enough. It has to go." I hope that that happens to you. If you want to communicate with us and tell us the blessing that we've been, go to moodymedia.org and you can connect with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Erwin Lutzer with The Truth That Hurts and Heals, another in a series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time, more on why denial goes hand in hand with addiction. This series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the power of a clear conscience. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.